You're listening to the Mahogany Says Show with your host, Mahogany Silverain, on Blog Talk Radio, MahoganySilverain.net. War is coming, and no one knows it but Gwen. He has one mission, to stop his former coven from attacking the mundane. Only then can he return to his quiet life, until he meets a beautiful time traveler with bad news about the future. That was the goal. Her presence, however, complicates everything as matters with the mundane go from bad to worse. He can't turn a blind eye to their attraction, nor can he go back to normal without a price. He must find a way to save the world and have her, too. Pandora's Kiss, an Asian male black woman time travel fantasy romance by T.D. Bond. Available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback. Get your copy today. Jolly Rancher, an erotic Christmas romance by best-selling author Sierra London. Diesel Conrad. She says they're enemies, but his gut says she belongs to him. Granted, he has forgotten some insignificant things in his life, like his own name, but he is certain of two things. One, she wants him. Two, he has the equipment to give her a very merry sleigh ride. Amanda Messy Mandy Murphy. All she wanted was a winter white vacation. But her sister's ex roped her into selling his ranch before Christmas. This arrogant, too gorgeous man is her personal bah humbug, or at least until the accident. Now he's convinced she belongs to him. She's going to need a Christmas miracle, and fast. Jolly Rancher, the number one bestseller by Sierra London, part of the Lunchtime Chronicles. Get your copy on Amazon today. You're listening to the Mahogany Says Show with your host, Mahogany Silverain, on Blog Talk Radio, MahoganySilverain.net. Hello and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Mahogany Says Show. I'm your host, Mahogany Silverain, and we have a great show for you tonight. I hope that in the rush and busyness of out shopping that you get a chance to relax this evening and enjoy our guest, who is an author that is not new to me, but I have heard of her and I've seen her books and they look very interesting. And I would like to introduce you to Tier Mux. Tier.
Hi, thank you so much, Mahogany, for having me.
You're welcome. I'm glad to have you on the show. So, since you're new, I would like to ask you to share a little bit about yourself with my listeners and so they can get to know you as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. As you said, I am pretty new to the writing scene. And I actually published my very first book back in 2013. I don't technically count that one because I was 19 or 20 when I wrote it. And then I kind of fell off the writing wagon. My biggest support system, which was my mother, passed away, so I didn't really feel like writing. And then my dad swooped in and was
sorry for your loss.
Thank you so much. And then my dad swooped in. He's like, hey, you love this, and I don't know as much about this as your mom did, but I'm here to support. And so I started writing again. And then I published in 2019. And so from there, I've just kind of been trying to put out books here and there over the years.
Nice. So What do you mostly like to write about?
Oh, that's a good question. I love anything romance. My main focus is romance. If you ask my readers, like the ones that have just been reading and following me on different writing sites, they'll tell you it's probably mafia or crime family, but I think they just like those best because those people, romance is my main focus, and I do sub-genres outside of that.
Okay. So your first book, you said you were 19 or 20 when you wrote it?
I was. I believe I started writing it. I was 19. I finished it before my 21st birthday. I was writing it slowly, as you can tell. And my mom actually edited it for me, and we submitted mm-hmm. it to the different, like, publishing companies. So, like, Kamani True and things like that back in the day. And mm-hmm. then, like, let's just do this ourselves. Let's just publish it ourselves. And so we went through, did the research, and we put it up on Amazon. So I know that a lot of people tend to read some of my other works first, and they'll go back and read that one. And I will be honest, it's probably not as satisfying as my newer ones because, again, mm-hmm. I was a kid writing about things I didn't really know about. So I know that sometimes when people read it, they're like, well, the intimate scenes aren't as detailed, and it wasn't as long as they normally are. And I'm like, child, listen, I was lucky to get through that. And then the embarrassment of having my mom edit it, there was that.
Yes. Yeah.
But also where we were submitting it, they didn't really take novels where there were a lot of intimate, in-depth scenes. You know, it was more of a little sprinkling, and then they were more about the romance of the story.
Right. Now, did you find it interesting or difficult because your romance stories, entailed multiracial characters or interracial couples?
No, not really. I've always sort of written what I live, and so I'm in an interracial relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what about, though my, as I said, forgetting him, it's different because it is still multicultural because she is of Native American descent. Her mother is Native American, but I've just always written what I've lived, and so that just happens to be the type of relationship I'm in.
And that's great, is that we write what we know. So that's awesome. And I also commend you for writing and knowing what you want to do at such a young age. So that is something in itself. I don't know if I would get my mother to edit for me, but she doesn't still do that, does she?
She passed in 2014, so she doesn't actually still.
Right. I'm sorry. You did say that.
Okay, but it was a little awkward, I will say, because my mom has always been very free and open, and I could talk to her about anything. And I remember her editing a different book after that one, and she was like, "This is sex," and I was like, "Oh my God, Mom, he's not just going to be plowing her. Why are you asking me this? I'm wild." But no, it was awkward for me just to have her read it and edit it, but she read it and did it like it was nothing and was like, don't put penetrate here, put this word. Like she was on top of it, and she's having this conversation with me, and I'm looking at her the whole time like, did you forget you gave birth to me? This what other but
wow. That's something. I don't know if I could do that. We don't have that type of relationship, but she did want to read one of my books, and I was just like, skip chapter 5. So tell us, have you ever had writer's block?
Yes, I get writer's block all of the time, and I deal with it by writing on something else. I've never just gotten writer's block overall. Usually I'll get writer's block on a specific novel that I'm working on, and instead of trying to force it, I'll set it aside and I'll work on a different novel. My readers will tell you I am the epitome of like working on multiple novels at one time. I'm currently writing 6 and uploading it on my network right now for them to read. So mm-hmm. if I just block on one, I just move to a different one.
Nice. So how many books have you written and published?
I think Her Policeman made number 8. There's 2.5 series, 3, and the family series, and then The Good and Bad have an anthology out. Yes. So Her Policeman, note number 8, it came out in September, and then Surrender will make 9. It comes out in January.
Okay. I think I've seen the cover for that one. You have some really good covers.
I make them myself, so thank you.
That's awesome. And it's great that you know that you have that creativity to do that, because not every author can do that. Some have to get theirs designed by someone because they're like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, so, I was doing that, but I wasn't getting the result that I was really looking for. So I was like, you know mm-hmm. what? There's YouTube videos on how to use Photoshop, and it gives you like step by step, and you can take this class. And I found one, and he has 20 videos for beginners, and then he teaches you like all of this other stuff. And so whenever I wanted to learn something that I was doing mm-hmm. on a cover, I was like, let me go find the video, and I would watch it and replicate his movements on whatever picture it was that I had chosen. And that's just mm-hmm. kind of how I do
it. Oh, nice. See, that is awesome. That's a great tip for the authors that are listening. So I know people are like a little antsy about this question, but, you know, even as an author, sometimes we have our favorites. So I'm going to ask, which book is your favorite?
That's a good question. I don't think I have a favorite book, more so as with couples. And I guess by default, that makes the family series my favorite series. But I have two couples, actually, Gray and Malaya from that series, mm-hmm. and then Kylan from that series. Gray and Malaya will probably always be one of my favorite couples, just because that particular series, book one of that series, I wrote 3 different ways. The first two ways were the main characters in the mm-hmm. series, and all the siblings were kind of like side characters, and then there was another extra siblings and a cousin. And in writing it, it just wasn't doing what I wanted it to do the first time. So I was like, okay, take 2. And so I tried to do it again, mm-hmm. deal with him as the main character, and then I took out one of the siblings, and I was like, let's make it less people. But the problem was I wrote 7 chapters, and I outlined everything before I write it. So by the time chapter 11 would have come around, I would have killed all of them except for, like, 5. And, I don't think the readers will like everyone dying. I'd even killed the main one of the main characters, Gray, that he died. And so that's why I tell my readers, I'm not against main character deaths. I've done it before. You just didn't get to read it. But it wasn't.
Wow.
So I was like, let's try to make the story, the novels, about all of the siblings and everyone finding love and going through whatever situations that they're going through. And it ended up working better. So we got a book where we follow 5 couples, and it still reads a lot like the original storyline because I kept a lot of it. So we mm-hmm. do get more Gray and Malaya and Kylan and Sutton because we got a lot of them in the first 2 drafts as I planned it out. So for sure, they're probably my favorite couples, and by default that makes that my favorite series, except I'm currently writing a book 2 in my Men in Uniform series, and Killian and Journey, they're fantastic. Killian is something else, so I love him for sure.
Oh, nice. So what made you decide to do Men in Uniform?
Because everyone loves a man in uniform.
That is true. You are not wrong there.
But no, as I stated, I am in an interracial relationship, and he is military. I don't know that he was really the inspiration for it, but he is definitely the person I go to when I have questions because I want to be accurate mm-hmm. in relation. But everyone just loves the man in uniforms. And originally it was just supposed to be an anthology, 7 short stories about the friend group and the couples. And as you see, it turned into one novel about Axel and Cadence, and now another novel about Journey and Killian. So now everyone just gets their own book when it was supposed to be an anthology put together.
An anthology of story. Wow. But sometimes that's how it happens. You know, you start off with one story and it becomes bigger than you. It's like your character's just kind of evolved, isn't it?
I tell my readers my characters talk to me, and they're like, oh, you have voices in your head. And I was like, I guess you could put it that way. But yeah, that's what they wanted, so I didn't deny it.
That is good. And sometimes it's hard to once they keep bugging you. So say you're in good company. A lot of us authors have characters that bug us to the point where like, okay, it's like, I want my own book. You know, or one comes out to be or overshadows my main character. And then I try to give them a book because they were just louder than the rest. So, but that's, you know, that's the nature of things. So have you thought of making any audiobooks, or do you have any audiobooks?
I don't have any audiobooks currently, but I am in the process of looking for voice actors, I guess that's the best term, looking for voice actors to read audiobooks. I found one, and I really love him. Fantastic. And I see him more because I'm that person that would love to keep continuity, so I'd like to keep one male voice actor, one male female actor per series and not kind of mix them in. Sounds
right.
One I really love, but I feel like he fits more of my family series. And since my captive series came first, I would like to have the audiobooks for that first. So I'm still looking for actors for them, but I definitely want to delve in the audiobook world. I know a lot of people like listening more than they like reading. I like to listen when I'm taking long drives.
Right.
Versus listening to, so I definitely want to stick my toe in.
Okay. So which one of your books was the most enjoyable one to write?
That's hard. I was going to pick Control just because that was actually the book that kind of got me out of my writing slump. I'd started writing it before the past, and she was kind of editing each chapter as I finished it. And then she passed. I didn't do anything for about a year and a half there with a few chapters it had on the back burner. And I didn't touch it. You know, I just didn't write anything. And finally, when I got back into writing, that was the couple that really opened me back up and got me back into loving creating the different characters and the world that they live in. And so I'm going to say Control because that was kind of my fix me baby, I guess. To get that spark back.
Nice. And I see there are two books in that series that you have, Control and Chaos. Did I lose you?
Sorry.
No, you were breaking up a little bit. But, yeah, I was asking you about Control and Chaos.
Yes. Those are the two books in the chapter series so far. Book three is entitled Mayhem, and it will be coming next year. But the series follows – the first book follows Eliza and Kieran, and they – she works for him, and she falls into lust, and he pursues her, and she's different from any woman that he's ever dated, and she doesn't just roll over and take his attitude or anything like that. She fights back, you know, with words and really bad. She's very different from who he's ever dated. And then her cousin Chase and his friend Nick, chaos is about them. Chase goes through the town, and Nick owns clubs and lounges, and he's very playboyish. In the first book, he flirts a lot, and you see him flirting with Elijah to kick Kieran off, and then it goes into flirting with Chase, and she's just like, nope, I know you're kind, this is not what we're doing, and clearly that's what they because they have a book. And then most of which is coming out next year is about Elijah and Chase's friend, Aaron, and then Nick and Kieran's friends, Hayden and Cruz, so she gets the double whammy. But doing it, I upload it serialized on my network so they get to read it kind of ahead of time, but they're enjoying it so far.
Oh, it looks like you have a lot of readers, and you get a lot of positive reviews. You have a lot of 4 stars, I saw, when I was looking at you earlier today to look at your books. And they are just amazing that how you've just done this. I'm still reeling of the fact that you were so young when you just started. And this is like, you know, I'm flattered that that you came on the show and sharing this about yourself, because there's a lot of people who like talk about it and they don't start doing anything serious until they're in their 30s, 40s, you know. So the fact that you jumped on it at a young age, I mean, you're going to go far. And I'm sure you've got lots of stories to tell. So I thank you for sharing that part. And I would also, you're welcome. Now, the future for your characters, do you think, how many series or how many books in a series were you thinking, like, for the family series that you mentioned?
Right now it has 3 books, and the ending of book 3 kind of wrapped up this journey that's been going on from book 1, because I don't think what people realize is book 1 to book 3, it's a very short time span. Book 1 starts with March, and book 3 ends in August. So it's a very short time span between what's going on and them, you know, finding this person that is out to get them. And I feel like I wrapped it up well. There is always the possibility of a book 4, because originally there was not supposed to be a book 3. Everything was kind of supposed to be wrapped up in book 2, and it just was very... And I'm all for writing long books. I have a book on Amazon that's almost 500 pages, I believe. But this would have been way longer than that. And so I was like, let's split this up, and, you know, we'll make book 3 longer, or we'll add extra to it to make it a book 3. And that's how that one happened, Men in Uniform. So it's just supposed to be short stories in an anthology, and it became novels. That series for sure has 7 books. So, so we have their group of friends, and all of the men are either current military or ex-military, but also if they're ex-military, their current profession also puts them in a uniform. It's very hard to say. I'll go into writing a book and I'm like, this is the only book. And then that book turns into book 1.
That can happen.
You know, bizarre. So it just happens.
So what is your favorite part about writing?
The world that they live in, and challenging myself for cameos and crossovers. All of my books, except the anthology, and so Getting Him doesn't feature any characters from other books because it was the first one years ago, but one of them does make an appearance in my current book. So I do a lot of crossovers, and I do a lot of mentions of other characters. For example, Lawrence, who is one of Elijah's friends in Control, makes a cameo in Surrender, because he is Colby, who is the main character. He is he's like a brother. He's a family friend. They've known each other forever. So you get that crossover. So there's a lot of those that I do. And I really love challenging myself to create this one world where all of my characters live versus separate for all of them. Like they all get their different states and cities, but at some point you'll see another one. You're like, oh, they're in the same realm, because sometimes you'll read a book and you can distinctively tell from the author that, you know, these people are over here and these people are over here, and they're never going to cross paths. And I really love just interweaving and, like, interconnecting those characters.
Oh, that's awesome. So how do you keep things fresh when you're writing the series for both your readers and yourself?
I try to add something different or something that isn't really talked about a lot, I guess. I tend to try to keep it fresh with the intimate scenes. So I change them up a lot. So sometimes you'll read intimate scenes in books and they're good, but they're just very traditional. And I, can I cuss? I'm not going to cuss.
It's all right. You're good.
I'm just going to keep it juicy. But I'll write something and it's like, oh, that's really good. And then the next book, I'm like, okay, we're going to give you a praise kink. And then in the book after that, it's like, hey, we're going to go to a BDSM club and we're going to have a scene there. So I use those scenes to try to, and I try not to have the same sort of interactions with each of the characters. But sometimes that it gets really hard, especially if you're writing books within the same trope. Like if you're writing the same, if you're writing a series within the same trope, it does get hard. And so I try to give my characters personalities that are far from one another. All of my is a kind of alpha male, but in different ways. So I try to give their personality, make their personalities kind of far from one another.
Mm-hmm. So would you like to do this as a full-time career, or do you do it as a full-time career?
I actually do it as a full-time career. I've been, this actually, last month made a year. I just realized that, huh? Last month made a year. I was working full-time before that, and it just wasn't as fulfilling because, you know, when you're at work and you're writing, it was work thing. It's to move around and do something else. So I sat down and I talked to my fiance. We had a conversation. He's like, do it. Just do it. Like, we were literally sitting for 2 minutes. And I was like, hey, I don't know how you would feel about this, but I would really love to write full time. He's like, do it. That's how I feel.
Nice.
I feel like.
Well, it's great to have a supportive partner, yes.
I was like, you know, those things are not going to be making as much money. And he was like, I don't care. He was like, I can pay all the bills. It's fine. Do it. So
nice.
Doing it for a year now, and I've learned a lot about myself within that year. I've learned how to refine my writing style. I've learned how to, you know, make my own book covers or make them better, I guess I should say. And so it's been a really fun learning experience, I'd definitely say, because before I may have been lucky to put out, you know, one, maybe two books a year. I would put out one at the beginning and one sort of at the end. And next year I have 4 books planned to release.
Oh, wow.
Already finished. So it's been very exciting.
Nice. So how are you, I mean, are you on social media where your readers can interact with you?
I am. So I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. All of my tags are Author Tier Mark. So you can find me on all of those. I have a website. It's tiermark.com. And from there, you can purchase signed copies and adventure boxes. And I'm always giving out different little things. For example, everybody that has signed up for my newsletter is getting a special thank you of the first 4 chapters of Permarine, which is book 2 in the Mini Uniform series. So I'll be sending that out as a Christmas gift. So you can find me all over.
Nice. So tell us about the characters in Her Policeman. Cadence and Axel, I believe.
Yeah. So Axel is a former Marine. He is retired. He got hurt on an assignment. They end up retiring him out. But during the book, we meet him as a member of the SWAT team. So he's a sniper for the Colorado School SWAT team. That's where their book takes place. And he runs into Cadence, who he knew sort of in high school. Her sister and he were in the same grade, and they were actually friends because they dated her sister's best friend, Olivia, who see her in the book. And, you know, she's not the most likable character, but she also isn't terrible. So there's that, because I don't want to put anybody off. And Cadence owns her own confection shop. She has a bakery, and she makes all these different treats. And so after running into her one night as she's setting up for her 10-year reunion from high school, he decides that he's going to go and go into her shop. And he goes, and we all know he's going in there to you know, ask her out, but he doesn't quite get to do it. And so she's like, well, I'll do it myself. And so they end up going out. So it's kind of a reconnection type book, because as I stated, they knew each other in high school, but they didn't really hang out with one another. And it's just, it's a sweet journey of them coming together and dating and falling in love, because there's nothing really crazy that happens until closer to the end. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. And dealing with Olivia a little bit, because she keeps saying that she's not bitter, but she's a little bitter.
So that is us. And you know what? You have a character that you think people would be put off by, but that actually makes her more interesting, because, you know, you don't really want your character to be almost perfect or too perfect and unrealistic. So her flaws actually make her a better character, I think, and that's just my opinion. So
I definitely,
she sounds like, yeah.
She's one of those people that you have to really know her to understand her. And a lot of their friend group, who she is as a person, but when Cadence and Axel start to date, Olivia's very, her first sentence when she finds out that they're dating is to say, you're talking about my Axel, like she claims him. And it doesn't fit of the women at the table, because her and Cadence's best friend, Journey, they do not get along. Olivia and Journey butt heads like oil and water. Like, they don't. But she's one of, if you know her, you understand her. And a lot of the women understand who she is as a person, and Cadence does as well, but it's when she starts dating Axel that Olivia's kind of, she's more annoying than she normally is.
See, those are also the secondary characters that kind of stick out. So is Olivia kind of, what's that, a little bit of a protagonist or antagonist? Excuse me.
There's actually a couple, I call them mini antagonists. There's a couple of mini antagonists, and she's definitely one of them, because she does bring up the subject several times, and it does cause a disagreement between Cadence and Axel that they have to kind of sit down and talk about. And then there's this man that works with there's actually two men that work with Axel that they're very annoying as well. So there's a lot of just things that add up within the book. There was no big climax, I guess you would say. I mean, I'm trying to say this without giving the book away, until the end of the book. No big climax until the end of the book. And then crazy things happen. You want to strangle people. I know I did as I was writing it. So I always tell people it's a sweet, steamy romance, because it's very sweet. There's not a lot of craziness that goes on like it does in some of my other books, but there is that intimate aspect that kind of, I guess, makes it erotica, but definitely different to write without having something over the top happen, and which is why at the end, but like, this is just going to be a sweet, steamy little romance, and we're going to go about our business. And I was reading it, and I was like, nope, something has happened. So I put it and it fit well.
But that's good. I mean, some people like to follow the romance that develops in the story. And, you know, some people like more action or, you know, more on the erotica part, but the story kind of, you know, the characters are, it's their story. So
right,
whether it's sweet romance or not, you know, it's their kind of evolving, their way of evolving their relationship. And it sounds really good. So I'll be excited to read it. So some personal questions.
Sure.
What do you like to do when you're not writing?
I am a big comic book anime fan. So
yes.
Comics.
Awesome.
Love comics. Love, love, love. I watch a lot of anime when I'm not writing. And when I say that, people are like, oh, you're watching, you know, the mainstream anime. No, I find some movies that I don't even think other people know existed. I have that I like to watch anime on, and I'll look at, like, how many times it's been viewed. And you'll see something, and it's been viewed, like, 1.5 million times. And I'm the person that goes and finds that whatever has been viewed 10 times. So I'm either reading comic books, watching anime, or coloring. Coloring is my favorite thing. I color every night before I go to bed because it's just very relaxing. And
it is. That's what I do too. That's awesome. I've never heard anybody else say that. I do the same thing. It is very relaxing. It really does help. And you're just like, it's another way of being creative, right?
It is, definitely. And I love it. And actually, it gave me, like, the best idea because I was like, you know what? In my next release, not Surrender because it's too close to coming out and I don't want to rush it, but in her Marine, I was going to include a coloring book. So they can go, they can download the book. When they get to the end, there will be a little link. You can have a coloring book because everyone should color.
Nice. I got to get that. You got to let me know when that comes out because I got to get that. Because I love the color, so yeah, that's right up my alley. And I love anime too. So, tell me some of the ones that you watch. You said you're not always the mainstream ones. So, what are some of your favorites?
Well, I really enjoy this, and I guess it just kind of depends on the type of anime you like. But there's an anime, it's called Kiznivar, and it's basically about a group of people who can feel each other's emotions and feel each other's pain, and sometimes they forget that. And one of the characters is very outgoing and spontaneous, and, you know, spontaneous people tend to get hurt.
Yes.
I really enjoy watching that one. And then I like watching Bungo Stray Dogs. I know a lot of people know about that, but I don't feel like it's very mainstream because it's not on any of the streaming networks aside from, like, Funimation. So I love that one. That's one of my favorites. What else? Oh, there's so many.
So you watch Funimation? Like, I know I have the app on my phone. That and Crunchyroll.
Yeah. They merged recently. It's something else now.
Okay.
And I can't remember, but it's like new streaming, but it's the two of them together. Like, they've merged. And I know a lot of people were not excited about that because they lost half of their catalog.
Yes.
But it'll still have good stuff, and they'll probably make more originals. But I love anime. That's like my go-to. Anytime I'm like, I'm going to watch TV. I try not to always watch anime, but it's always a new series or
sure,
a movie.
Yeah. There's always a new one. If I can't catch it, my sons, they both love to watch anime, so they'll also let me know when something new comes out or ones that I might like that are not mainstream. So, yeah. So they'll let me know, and we'll watch them. We'll have to be a watch party where you can click in and we can both watch it. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I get a lot of ideas, and sometimes it might spark something just by watching it. Does that happen with you?
It does, because anime is so different from anything else that you'll ever watch. And I know for a lot of fantasy writers, anime would probably be very, very inspirational, because there's some fantasy animes that I watch, and I look at it and the way that it's drawn and the situations, and I'm like, you could have never pulled that off in a movie. So I watch it sometimes, and I'm like, that's really neat. And it does just get the creative juices flowing. I watch a lot of, like, fantasy anime and science fiction, and I like the thriller animes. I don't like a lot of slice of life, so if it's too happy, I'm probably not going to watch it, because after four or five episodes, like, no. So I tend to lean more towards the fantasy and the sci-fi on the darker side. I like a lot of the mind game animes, so that definitely like my top one.
Okay. So have you ever watched Utena?
Yes.
That was really good, isn't it?
It really, really, really was.
Actually, that was one of the first ones I watched when I first started watching anime.
It was like one in the beginning, but I don't know if people realize this, but I am a lot older than people think I am. So my first anime that I watched was actually called Wolf's Rain. I guess technically Dragon Ball, but I didn't know
I've
it was
seen
anime.
That. I've seen Wolf's Rain.
And, you know, it came out in, like, 98. I think that was the first one I watched. Wolf's Rain, and then Case Closed, and Inuyasha. And from there, it was open season.
Yep. Right. Yeah, I sort of got into some of the, I guess they were different, and I have not seen them on any streaming services. Chobits? They're kind of, they're like dolls that, you know, they're animated, but this guy has one that he falls in love with her, but even though she's like not a real, she's like a robot.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen that, but it does sound interesting.
Yeah, you have to write that down so you can look that one up, because I think you'll like that one. It's Chobits. And it's because it has a little sci-fi in it as well, so I think you'll probably like that one.
Actually, I watched, and I know this is not what we're supposed to be talking about, but I watched Violet, and I didn't think I was going to like that, but it was really good.
Violet?
Mm-hmm. Violet Evergarden. A series, a couple of movies. I just thought it was romance. I was like, I'm not going to like this, but she was like in the war and fighting, and I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, really warrior then. Okay. That's an awesome one. Okay, so what is the best part of your day?
Best part of my day, because it's been cold, but I think it's when I first get up and I let my dogs out. So I go out and I sit on the floor, like when it's finished just right and it's like the right temperature and everything's still kind of quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect, because I know after that, there's no more grass in my house.
Yeah.
There's no more poop. Everybody in my neighborhood wakes up, and for some reason I have a neighbor that says he's got to do something out in his yard noisily every day. So,
cutting grass this season?
So this morning, I don't know what he was doing, but there was a chainsaw going. And when I went to check the mail, I looked to see if he, like, cut down those limbs that he probably should have cut down last year. They're still there. So I couldn't tell you what he was doing with that chainsaw. What he was doing. But every single morning, there's something. The chainsaw is going. He was outside fixing. He said he was fixing the weed eater on Monday. And I was like, why you keep turning yourself on and off? Because I needed to know. And he said, oh, I'm just fixing it. I was like, your grass isn't growing. What's happening?
He's playing with his toys.
That's really what he's doing. But no, he's such a nice guy. But I think he is retired military, so maybe he just needs something to do.
You to do? Yeah.
Such a nice guy. But after that, it just, there's no peace and quiet. You know, I have three little dogs, but there's bigger dogs that are all around. And if one of them starts barking, They all start barking. Be quiet.
So what kind of dogs do you have?
I have a little dachshund.
Oh, those are cute.
A big dog, you know. She's not, but she thinks she is.
Yeah, I've seen those dachshunds that are really cute. The long body.
Look like a little hot dog.
Yes. Have you seen the Secret Life of Pets?
Yeah. Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah. That's what made me think of it. Like the massage with the mixer.
Yes.
That is cute.
She's adorable. She's a long hair, and she actually looks like a little Rottweiler. She has those two brown dots that you see on them.
Oh, yeah.
On the bigger dog. She has those two little
So that might be why she thinks she's a big dog, but, you know.
Oh, you know, so little dogs have that little dog complex. They think they're big, so they act like they are. But it's cute. Chihuahuas really do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you want to be when you grew up, when you were younger?
Yes, a surgeon when I was younger. But then I realized I am not equipped to give anyone bad news about their children. I cannot. And I figured that out young, you know. And so I was like, no, that's probably not what I'm going to do. But I was set on it until I was about 14, I suppose. And then one of my classmates passed, and me and some other people were going to tell one of their friends who hadn't heard yet. And that was probably one of the hardest things that I had ever had to do. And I was like, if I can't tell another one of my classmates, I'm definitely not going to be able to tell somebody's parents. I'm not going to be able to give them that bad news. So for a long time, I wanted to be a pediatric surgeon. And then after that, I wanted to write. It was like a pediatric surgeon who writes on the side. And then it was like, nope, I'm just gonna be a writer.
I don't blame you there. That's, you have to have a really strong poker face. It's not that you're shutting down your emotions. It's just that you don't want to, you know, show too much to the parents. And, yeah, that could be pretty upsetting. But
everything. Like, I would have to inform the parents. And then I couldn't talk to anybody else for at least 30 minutes because now I have to go have, like, a good cry because someone's 3-year-old didn't make, oh, could you imagine?
I couldn't either. Not when it comes to children. It's more heartbreaking because they have so much life, that they could have lived. So, yeah, that is difficult. So when you're writing, do you ever listen to music or what's your writing routine like?
I do. So when I write, I listen to particular songs. So certain songs get me in the particular type of chapter that I have to write. So I'm a big, like, Tyrese and Genuine. So I listen to a lot of their music when I'm having to write, like, intimacy scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm writing mafia books and I have to write a scene where someone's getting tortured or killed, I listen to, like, Bone Crusher. I have to write those.
Nice.
So I do definitely when I'm trying to achieve a certain goal, I have just different playlists for what I'm writing. But most of the time, just general things that I'm writing, I tend to do those in the peace and quiet of my office. Only in there can I not hear anything outside of my house aside from the dog that's right next door. And so it's very nice and quiet, and I can just go and sit and breathe or try to breathe through what I'm writing. But I do. I don't think I could write, especially those torture scenes. Those torture scenes and those death scenes, I definitely need that musical inspiration. So a lot of Bone Crusher, a lot of Mystical, a lot of Tupac, definitely.
Awesome. Yeah, it does kind of depend on the scene. You know, how could you listen to, like, jazz and you're doing this torture scene? It just wouldn't fit. But yeah, I would have trouble writing, like, torture scenes. That would, I don't know. How do you deal with emotionally with something like that? Because I know you get invested in your book, so you're invested in the story.
When torture scenes happen, I think that's one of those times that my readers are very correct. I let my characters talk through me. I try to remove myself from it and think of how that character would do something like that, you know, how it comes easily for them because they're crazy. So I try to take myself out of the equation and say, okay, because Emery is the person torturing me, this person, I'm going to write it through her and let her speak on what she's doing. And I will be honest, I've some torture scenes, and then I've gone back and read them and not always fully remember writing the entire thing. I wrote one. At some point, the two younger siblings started reciting head, shoulders, knees, and toes, and one of my readers was like, and I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't even realize it until I went back and read it. So sometimes it's just kind of like it happens. I read it and I'm like, oh, my gosh, what was that? But it worked out. So.
Well, yeah, you know, you got into character. Your characters really channeled that character, I think, because not many people remember exactly what they wrote. I mean, I could write a book, but I can't tell you exactly what's in it. Have you ever gone back to one of your books and read it, and you're like, oh, I wrote that? I don't remember that being a part of the story. Have you ever done that?
I have, actually. I will write something and not fully remember that I wrote it or that a character said something and I won't remember it. But I'm also one of those people that I'll write a chapter, I'll read it once to kind of do a soft edit on it, and I'll go on about my business. And then I won't read the full book again until I get it back from my editor. So I surprise a lot when I'm reading something that I wrote. I just did that recently with Surrender. I read through the edits that she sent me, and there were certain things that, like, Dallas was saying, and I was like, oh, my gosh, why did you say that? Because I didn't remember. So it happens quite often.
Understandable. So what was your what is your favorite food?
Ooh. Favorite food. Anything, do desserts count?
Yes.
Okay. Anything with peanut butter. I am a big lover of peanut butter.
Really?
So peanut butter brownies, butter cake, peanut butter.
Wow.
Anything with
now peanut butter
with
mixed with chocolate, or is it just plain peanut butter?
Plain peanut butter. I will eat peanut butter mixed with chocolate. But I love some peanut butter, and my sister's like, ew, why? Why do you like it so much?
Because it's good.
It's delicious.
You stick a spoon in a jar, you know, and you lick that spoon.
Exactly. I remember being in high school, being in band my junior and senior years, and if I knew that I was a wind player, so if I knew that we weren't the focus, my band director would let me eat my peanut butter. And at the time, I was doing peanut butter and Oreos and peanut butter and chocolate chips.
Oh, that sounds
good. And it was delicious.
Yeah, because you could dip the chocolate chip cookie in the peanut butter. That sounds really good. Probably because I'm hungry right now, so... So do you have a website that my listeners can find you?
So if they go to filmworks.com, all of my books are on there. I'm actually about to put a series list up so people know kind of what books are coming in the next series. But I think there's paperbacks there, adventure boxes, all kinds of things.
Nice. So and you said you had a newsletter that they can – now, is there a subscription on your website where they can sign up for your newsletter?
There is. If they scroll all the way to the bottom, just fill in your name and your email address, and it will allow you to sign up for the newsletter. And if you go to any of the links, it's on there as well.
Oh, nice. So are you, like, on Instagram or
– I am. So
Twitter?
I'm on – yep, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. And my handle on all four of those is Author Tier Mark.
Nice.
Super simple.
So what do you think about TikTok authors?
You know, I haven't really come – this is going to sound really bad, but I haven't really come across any TikTok authors that I wasn't sort of already familiar with, like maybe we're friends on Instagram or Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Took my algorithm on there a while to get me to the size that I was looking for, and now I am coming across more and more writers. What is her name? K-Pal, I believe. I was not with her, we're now friends on TikTok, and she released a book recently that I've downloaded, and I've been super excited to read, but I don't read while I'm writing, so mm-hmm. I'm having to wait until I get this last book that I'm trying to get done finished, but I'm super excited to read it, so I've found a lot of new authors on there, but like I said, it took a while to get to where I need, like, the side I needed to get on, apparently their size of TikTok,
mm-hmm.
But so far, the indie author community on TikTok seems to be really, really welcoming and really nice and very supportive. I think that people are having maybe an issue with not the writers themselves of, like,
mm-hmm.
the TikTok pushes, but, like, the reviewers and the readers of those books. Luckily for me, I haven't run across any of those. So mm-hmm. hopefully that's and I'll stay on my nice little supportive, friendly side. But so far,
I've only recently started coming across some myself, so yeah, that's, but I like some of the book videos that they have on TikTok, and then I'll do is, like, some of the, you know, popular things, like answer the questions, or, you know, I haven't done any of the dance moves, but just, like, something else besides just my books, you know, kind of, you know, mix it up a little bit, so...
I made just different quotes from the books as kind of a way to help advertise and push the books. I'm going to steer very clear of those dance moves because I don't need people to see me playing around. I did recently like trying to do something new, and I want to reach out to the writers to get their permission before I do this, but I don't know if you've seen on TikTok those filters that people use
mm-hmm.
With I've learned how to make them, and so I want to do one. I saw one that was like, "What book trope are you?" But it was like the pop, but the books that they included were like books by Colleen Hoover and people like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I one for us as indie authors. And I don't want to just put people's books on there. I want to get their permission first because that's just how I am. But I figured out how to make them, and so I was toying around with it the other day, and I was like, I'm going to do a filter, and it's going to be geared towards indie authors. And it's kind of another way to help them put their books out there because people use filters and they'll see that and they'll be like, oh, okay, let me go read this book. So I was excited when I figured it out.
Well, that is awesome. And I have enjoyed having you on my show and listening to your insight on certain things that you have done. And you're very mature, I will say, as far as, like, your age and everything and what you do and knowing yourself when you're writing your stories. So I commend you on that as well.
Thank you. Thank you. How old do you think I am?
I would say early 20s, early to mid-20s.
Thank you so much. I'm not, but thank you. I think that's what happens with a lot of people. I talk to them or they read my books. And they're like, my editor, actually, she tickled me the other day because I wrote something about an answering machine. And she goes, mm-hmm. Do you think you're, I would know what an answering machine is? And I was like, you think I'm really young, don't you?
So, oh, wow.
Fun.
Well, I'm so glad you came and shared with us this evening. And thank you all for listening. Yeah, I was interviewing author Tier Marks, and I wish you all very happy holidays and Merry Christmas, and we will be here next week with another author. So thanks again, and have a good night. Peace, blessings, and love.
Hot Coffee, an interracial romance by Donna R. Mercer. Roman is a playboy, but one too many scandals has put his CEO position in jeopardy. He must find a nice girl one of the board of Hemingway Industries would approve of and get married before the new year. Maya is just the woman he needs.
You have been listening to The Mahogany Says Show with your host, Mahogany Silverain, on Blog Talk Radio, mahoganysilverain.net. Thank you and good night.